co-author of several articles on that and other topics. She earned her BSN from the University of Minnesota, her MS in Public Health from the University of Minnesota School of Public Health, and is currently enrolled in the Doctorate of Nursing Practice in Public Health Nursing Program at the University School of Nursing. She was recently recognized as one of 100 distinguished alumni at the school. So let's all welcome Susan.
Good morning and thank you. I want to thank my new best friend who's just leaving the room. Got here this morning and it said the presentation is not on file. And not only that, they didn't have it anywhere. So, of course, I should have known better. I should have had it on a jump drive. I did not. I should have known when I loaded it and it went so beautifully that this was too good to be true. But fortunately, we were able to retrieve it. So I'm pleased to be here, and my blood pressure will go down shortly here. I'm here to talk to you about what I think is a very exciting project we have going at the University of Minnesota School of Nursing. It's a HRSA-funded grant, as was stated. My colleagues in this are Linda Olson-Keller, who is the project director, and Emily Litt, who is our project consultant. When we started the grant, Emily was actually at the School of Nursing at the U. She's since gone to Brigham Young. She's our technology consultant. Not only is she just a really solid public health nurse and a really bright young woman, but she is a digital native, which means she's young enough she could be Linda's or my daughter. And so she grew up with technology. She knows all this stuff inside and out, as opposed to Lynn and I, who are good, but we're, as you can tell, not as good as I probably could be. But we are what are considered digital immigrants. And so Emily has kept us on track with all the things we could be doing. And our current discussion with her is to tweet or not to tweet. And we haven't quite gotten that one settled out yet. I have nothing to disclose, alas, I wish I could. And what I'm going to talk to you about is our grant, which is really in three components. We have our evidence champions, who are our stars, the focus of today's presentation, our training component, and then our E2 website, which I'll get to in a minute. Now, when we looked at our grant, which was, I'm ahead of myself here. The purpose was to promote the practice quality and efficiency of Minnesota's public health nurses. Through uptake and translation evidence into practice. And again, it's a three-year HRSA-funded grant. Our champions are the core or the key to this whole thing working. And the fact that we have them built into the project is in itself an evidence-based component. The literature shows that in the research that's been done and that the uptake of evidence is much more likely when you have dedicated people on staff, on board, who are generally called champions. They're there to make sure that the issue, the notion doesn't die, and they really are the promoters to translate this activity into everyday, real-day practice. What we did in Minnesota is recruited 35 of our evidence champions. They come from local health departments around the state, both large and small agencies, schools, and the one visiting nurse association that we have in Minnesota. And that's actually the entity that provides a huge component of public health nursing services to our two metro areas, particularly Ramsey County, City of St. Paul. Role basically that they have is listed here, which is to search, translate, adopt, refine, share evidence for best practices, which is where we get stars. Most of these folks, of these 32 of the 35 are public health nurses. And in Minnesota, that means you have to have at least a BSN. We have title protection in Minnesota, so in order to call yourself a public health nurse, you have to have the BSN. We also have three educators and two LSNs who are involved in our project, so it's a very exciting mix. Most of them are staff-level nurses, but we do have six supervisors and three actually agency directors. In those cases, they're all directors of local health departments in small areas, so you know they wear multiple hats, and bless their hearts, decided they could take on one more role in their agencies. So this is the magnet. We are great with magnets in Minnesota. That we have given to the champions to distribute as they best feel they can make use of them in their local agencies. And again, it emphasizes their role, which is search, translate, adopt, refine, and share. They do not have a prescribed role. We are asking them to define and create the role for themselves in their own agencies as they best see fit. One of the lessons that Emily and Linda and I all spent years working at the State Health Department, and the one thing we know is that there's no such thing as one size fit all. It really has to be customized to each agency. We provided training for these folks, a two-day training in May, and the content covered evidence-based practice, what it is and what it isn't, how to find and rate evidence, how to design and develop practice tips. We're stopping short of calling them practice guidelines. And that has most to do with what they'll look like. It's going to be one side of one sheet of paper, double-spaced with bullets, which we found from previous projects is about what can be tolerated for the very busy staff, local public health professional. And then we also provided them a half-day training on motivational interviewing as the mechanism of which we determined they could use in working with our staff members and really promoting this. Any of you who have not, or any of you have taken a formal course in evidence-based practice, which I am currently enrolled in, I'm really overdosing on this, will probably be happy to know they've never heard the word PICO, or the term PICO, and we don't expect them to ever learn that. We felt that that was a little bit too technical for what they were doing. Instead, what we're asking them to is to define day by day, what is your current today's biggest practice challenge? Wanted just to speak briefly on, again, their roles. A lot of our local public health agencies have heavily invested in the Omaha system. Are any of you Omaha users out there? Well, I know Erica's going to be talking a bit more about Omaha, but the agencies who use this have teams of staff people who develop pathways. And our particular evidence base is currently serving as a resource to the folks who will be developing the pathways. So in those agencies where they are Omaha users, we're seeing a lot of activity with the champion in that agency involved with those Omaha pathway developers. The two questions that we ask them to think of themselves as they come into their day and leave their day is, how much of the work you've done today is evidence-based? And what more do you need to know in order to be evidence-based? And I'll give you some examples of what our camp champions are currently up to in just a minute. I want to move now to our second component, which is training. One of my favorite historical phases in public health is C.A. Winslow's title of a paper he wrote long ago called The Untilled Fields of Public Health. Any of you read that? It's a great historical document, and I like to use that term because I think what we're doing with our training is going out and tilling those fields of public health and making them ready to really receive and use the evidence-based resources that we're putting in place for them. So we began by training our former colleagues at MDH with a half-day program on what it was we're really doing. They certainly are evidence users. We wanted to make sure we had compatible language and that they could support what we were doing in our work with a group that's obviously a subsection of the folks that they also work with. We worked heavily on a one-day training with faculty from 12 of our colleges and universities, and Pat is here. She was one of our folks who worked with us that day, so they have a sense of what students in those agencies could expect, but also in reverse, what they could promote as faculty working with those local health departments, some of whom will have champions, some of whom won't. We'll be doing regional trainings. We're going to be doing actually on-site trainings for those agencies who have champions, and we'll be working with them on how to use their champions, doing workshops on a topic of their choice. Starting next January, which is, of course, a great time in Minnesota to start doing regional trainings, so we just put on our snow tires and away we go. We're gonna be doing regional trainings for anybody, local health department professional who may be interested in the topic of evidence-based, and giving them kind of a notion of what that's all about, how they could use it, why it's important, et cetera. Then later in 2010, we're gonna be doing a statewide workshop which will showcase what our local folks have been doing. And then at the end of the project, which will probably be in the spring of 2011, a national webcast, which will be available through our website, kind of our lessons learned, as well as what are the key learnings that you might be able to take for your own use in your own practice. Which brings us to our third component, which is our website. This is the logo we've used, and I put some magnets in the back of your room for you to take. Take as many. I have more up here if you're interested in distributing to your own staff. Our URL is www.publichealthnurses.org. Whoever owns www.publichealthnursing.org is holding it for ransom, and I'd sure like to know who you are, because we'd like to negotiate with you. It's a whole interesting process on how that gets set up. But we are delighted to have this. It's not quite ready for prime time yet. We will be letting folks know through various listservs when it is up and ready. But here's what you'll be able to access. When you get into it, there will be an evidence base where you can actually go in, and on topics that are previously listed, you can search them by population, your age, the topic of concern, the level of evidence, which means the strength of the evidence that this particular article is based on, public health wheel, the wheel of interventions, if there happens to be discussion about an intervention that will also be tagged. So you can go in and search in these particular terms. Excuse me. There will also be resource pages for each of the topics that we're selecting. In addition, there will be a lot of the information we've had on the MDH website about the wheel of intervention, the manual, et cetera, will also be available on our website, as well as other documents and resources that have come together over the years. There'll be blogs, so that staff nurses who don't usually have a chance to talk with anybody else other than in their own agency about practice issues will be able to go on the blog, select a topic of their interest, and interconnect with other staff nurses, other health educators, whatever, and they're just who may be also involved in that same topic, do some problem solving, some sharing of information, and so on. And probably the piece de resistance will be our wikis. Emily is in charge of our wiki development, and our wikis are going to serve as a home for what we're calling our learning communities. And these will be where five experts will come together, consider the data that we have on our database, as well as anything else that they're aware of. Five experts will come together using the wiki as a mechanism to develop our practice tips. And once their work has been developed, those will go out on the blog to kind of be vetted by our public, and then eventually will be published in our portion of our website known as the Practice Tips. Emily is preparing a little online tutorial, so if you're interested in being an expert and working on one of these, it's a password-protected site, I'm recruiting heavily. I see Linda just walked in. Linda is also recruiting heavily to serve on these. So if you have an interest in being this, or you think you know of someone in your agency or a colleague who may be interested in a particular topic, if you just leave me your card with your names, we'll make sure that we get in touch with you. And on the back, if you would put what particular practice area you might be interested in, we'd be delighted to get in touch with you. So after that shameless recruitment process here, a little bit more on what the wikis will look like. I want to also just talk briefly about what our database will look like. We're selecting five initial topics, and as time goes on, these will be more and more populated. Our current topics that we're going to be looking at are family home visiting, childhood obesity prevention, childhood asthma management, parental immunization resistance, and counseling. In each one of our terms, we're going to be dealing with at least one of the interventions from the wheel. And it's the little, oops, I went too far, sorry. And our first one off the bat will be counseling. So what you'll get when you go into the database, here's just an example of what you'll be able to pull up. What we're limiting it to is 20 of what we consider the most meaty or the best informative documents that may be available on a particular topic. And what you'll get is obviously citation. You can't actually get the article. You'll have to go out and find that through your own resources. But we have a fabulous health department library at MDH. And I'm assuming a lot of other states have the same kind of resource. So they'll be able to access those pieces of information, but not through us. The strength of evidence, this is all pre-rated. We've had internal resources to do this. We're using Robin Newhouse, the Johns Hopkins, thank you, the Johns Hopkins document to guide in this process. And then there'll be what we call implication for practice. Now, not all of them will have implications for practice because this requires a second reader, a second expert to give their opinion on what this might be for practice. But eventually, we hope the entire database will be populated with those. So I want to close just by letting you know how we're evaluating it. This is work that Melnick and Final Overholt have been gracious enough to work with us in redesigning their instruments. We're doing pre and post tests. The organizational readiness one is one we're also doing with agencies who are choosing not to be involved in our project. So we'll have some comparisons to offer. Plus a tool on skill assessment that we've developed for our own purposes. So let me just give you a quick few examples of what some of our stars are doing. This is Nancy Schaefer from Dakota County. She's and her colleague have developed a journal club that's meeting on a regular basis on topics that the staff choose. Their current question is, what strategies are successful in promoting breastfeeding continuation beyond the initial 6 weeks? This is Jody Misgods from Ottertail County. She also has a breastfeeding related. Now, she kind of fell into this. She was given an opportunity to become a lactation consultant through some underfunding that her agency had. She also, Minnesota has additional money for health improvement called our SHIP money, which is state money that's being delivered to local agencies who choose to apply for it. And one of the issues she's looking at specifically now is, what is the relationship between the duration of exclusive breastfeeding and the BMI status of children and youth? There is some emerging literature, not necessarily conclusive, but that's been her topic that she's looking at. This is Grace Forbord from Crow Wing County. And she and her staff, she has a little three-person team who's working with her and kind of serving as a liaison between she and her staff about the topics they're going to be looking at. They're starting out with investigating the question of what, if any, is the relationship between short-term goal setting with pregnant or parenting teams and does this increase the promotion likelihood of achieving life course goals like getting your GED, et cetera. And Becky Walden from Anoka County, they're looking at searching for criteria for when do you terminate cases, what we usually call our family home visiting. That's not nurse-faculty partnership necessarily, but our general family home visiting. You all know them, you know, the classic response is, well, when they've achieved their goals. Well, these are families who just don't, they may achieve one goal, but then they're on to another one. So what criteria do you use to know when you can successfully terminate? And last but not least, this is Nancy Lee from one of our very northern counties. And she was a very small, very tightly resourced, meaning minimally resourced county. She was really struggling with what to do because, you know, H1N1 just consumes your life when you're one of four staff public health nurses. And so her question just kind of fell into her lap. Someone came to their agency with a prescription from a physician from an adjoining state saying she should get the seasonal flu vaccine, but he wanted it given intradermally, which did not fit with their protocol. So she is now investigating the question of vaccine sparing, the efficacy of vaccine sparing using intradermal injection, the seasonal flu. So it gives you kind of a flavor of what some of our champions are about. It really depends on the issue in their agency. Oops, and my contact information, which just flew by, but I certainly have cards available, and I really appreciate your attention today, and I'll be available for questions afterwards.